Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, continuing with this series looking at people living with mental ill health and addiction, today Brian O'Connell brings us inside a state-of-the-art 100-bed facility on Ushers Island in Dublin, run by Dublin Simon. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
So you visited this facility when it was almost complete, and now that 50 of the beds are open, what's it like?
Well, it is a state-of-the-art facility, 100 beds, which for the first time brings together services such as detox, step-up, step-down care, blood-borne virus treatment, as well as mental health care, all under the one roof. And that's what's key with this new facility. It's really been described as a game changer in terms of helping some of the needs of the homeless community in Dublin. Half the beds are open, discussions are ongoing around funding for the rest. And one of the things I've been hearing time and time again is that when services are not knitted together, it makes it very hard for people living with a mental ill health and an addiction to get the services they need. So this facility will go some way towards addressing gaps in the system. Much better links with mental health services, in-house detox facilities, which are key as well. So very much in the first part of this series, you'll remember I presented a very stark snapshot of just how difficult life can be when people are not met with services they need. So we want to give a little bit more hope with this report. And let's begin inside this new 100-bed facility on Ushers Island with Dublin Simon's clinical nurse manager, Kira Cotter. And she works, Claire, with the primary care team. It's a nurse-led service working in housing services.
We're at half capacity at the minute, but we hope to open to 100 beds in the next year.
Obviously a clinical environment, but there's a nice warm feel to it.
Yeah, and that was very purposeful.
So what are you able to offer here in terms of services?
We have our medical detox. So that's a 3-week detox from alcohol or benzodiazepines. So step-up services would be from the community, and it's a medical facility for people who don't quite need to get into hospital yet. So, and then post-hospital admissions as well. So for people with leg ulcers, pressure sores.
And in terms of mental health and addiction then, dual diagnosis, tell me about the kind of services you can offer.
We have great links with our inclusion health, mental health teams. So if someone is in the community and experiencing mental ill health or mental distress, and they require somewhere safe to be monitored and provide treatment, we can bring them in to step up, step down. And we have our inclusion health psychiatrist works very closely with us. So her team will come in and review the client here on site.
In effect, you're able to deal with both the addiction and the mental ill health at the one time.
Exactly, and that's quite important. I mean, they go hand in hand. So people who are experiencing addiction, here we have a benzo detox and we have an alcohol detox. So people who have low mood, depression, psychotic symptoms, kind of in that dual diagnosis remit, we could bring in here and do it all under the one roof, which is very important.
It's important because often you're dealing with a community whose lives can be quite chaotic.
Extremely difficult. I mean, people experiencing homelessness, they experience a lot of barriers to care. So it's so important to have everything under the one building, because it could be that, you know, one interaction or that one encounter that really counts and can really make a difference in people rebuilding their lives.
So that's nurse manager Kira Cotter. And it sounds like a great addition, Brian, in terms of meeting that community's needs. You went along to one of the wards.
Well, it has a step up and then a step down facility, as you heard. And I suppose what it gives people is it gives people space, it gives them security, it gives them dignity to be able to receive that healthcare they need, which can be on site. A lot of it is on site. And then they have very good established links with local services and they can be tailored to people. I suppose there's still some work to be done to fully weld together mental health services off site and what's offered on site. But it is evidence that this kind of a one-stop model can work. Now, on one of the wards, as you said, I did meet one man who is several weeks into a stay in the Ushers Island facility with Dublin Simon. And you'll hear him towards the end of this clip, Claire, along with Ray. And Ray's manager of the Step Down unit. It's a short stay subacute unit. And he talked about some of the people that they're helping.
They are usually not unwell enough to qualify for admission to a psychiatric unit, but there's nowhere for them to stabilise.
So they fall between the cracks.
So we have been, as a pilot, we have been bringing in clients with the mental health team, working with them, stabilising them, getting them back on their medication, reducing their substance use.
It would seem that the services have to be wraparound services like this.
Ideally, they should be. And one of the issues we have with our clients, often the psychiatrists will look at them and say, well, I can't do anything about their mental health condition. Some of it is substance-induced or it's aggravated by their substance use.
You're going to tell me they present to the addiction services and they say?
And they say that, there's a access one diagnosis, whether it's bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, and even taking away the substance, that you still need to treat the diagnosis. So it needs to be a combination of the two teams working together. You can't just treat part of the condition, which is what we're doing at the moment. We've got two separate islands of treatment, not joined together, and often the client is falling between the two. So in this situation, the mental health team who was treating this gentleman had asked us to bring him in to help stabilize his alcohol use and physical health and to prepare him for adjusting his medications.
Yes, I do drink almost every day.
Okay.
But when I come here, it's limited.
So we're now looking at probably week number six.
Week number six, good man. And you've stayed. The food must be good, is it?
The food is good. It's not too bad.
How do you feel?
I feel good. It's a nice, clean place. They treat me very well.
We have physicians coming in 5 days a week for general practice physicians, in addition to the psychiatric team coming in once a week to review how he's doing. So all of that is, beneficial because it's all in the one place and it's happening in unison.
Yes, I try my best every day. I keep pushing.
I think you said there, Brian, at the beginning that you want to be able to give people some hope that recovery can happen.
Well, I think the message should be no matter how chaotic lives can get sometimes, if services are pivoted in a way that consider the nature of people living with dual diagnosis, they may be homeless, for example, then I suppose there's a far greater chance of a positive engagement. And there is a belated recognition nationally now that this needs to happen. Next week, I'll examine how national services are realising we need specialised teams in place so that people can get the help they need, like in Usher's Island, in one location. But as you said, there is hope, Claire, and I want to bring you one person I met in Dublin, Simon. She's an extraordinary woman called Christina Morrissey. Her first interaction with homeless services was all the way back in 1995 when she was a teenager.
In my adult life, I became homeless again, but in, I suppose, 23, I decided to get help with my addiction issues.
Had those addiction issues been there since the 90s?
I would have used initially about 96, after about a year of homelessness.
And then in terms of mental health, because some people ask which comes first, the mental ill health or the addiction, or is it hard to say?
I suppose my mother, when I look back at my childhood, she probably would have had some symptoms of mental illness. So I suppose I saw some of those symptoms in myself. I got a diagnosis of emotionally unstable personality disorder.
Did it make sense to you when you got that diagnosis?
Well, I suppose to me it didn't, because they weren't looking at the full picture. But it did explain some of the impulsivity, some of the other issues that I had going on.
So you're in addiction, you do have a mental ill health. What was happening when you'd present looking for help, or did you?
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't present looking for help. I didn't want help. I was afraid of change. I didn't think I could manage life without substances. I just didn't believe I could. It wasn't until I got very, very desperate that I eventually did seek help.
What's the difference with the facility here then?
Well, I suppose they take a very trauma-based approach. I suppose it's like a balm over all the problems. I suppose when you have somewhere to live and when you've all those basic needs met, it's a lot easier then to look at the other issues you have. But you can't look at any issues unless you've got those first needs met. It's impossible.
And in the past 2 years, Claire, Christina's life has completely turned around. She's testament, I suppose, to the fact that someone living with a mental ill health, with chronic addiction issues, in an unstable living environment as she was, they can thrive really and get better if services take account of their lived reality, as she told me.
I'd been seen by a few psychiatrists over the years.
In general terms, what were you being told by the psychiatric services?
A lot of the times, if you're in active addiction, psychiatry tend not to look at the mental illness as much. They either look at one or the other. If you're clean, they'll take your psychiatric symptoms more seriously. Whereas if you're in active drug use, they tend not to really want to treat.
How has your life changed in the past 2 years?
Dramatically. I'm now in college. I'm nearly finished my second year. I designed a programme that I'm going to be rolling out in client development. You know, everything's changed dramatically. I have a roof over my head. I suppose when you're clean, it's easier to deal with the mental health issues. You know, I'm grateful for all the help I got, and I got a lot of support.
And that support, I'd imagine, what was key with you was that it met you where you were at.
Yeah, like they don't wait for you to get clean before they'll start helping you. Like back then, I was malnourished. I had behavioural issues. And now, I suppose, I don't have any of that.
What advice would you give, having come through the system, to people who might be designing this dual diagnosis way of treating people?
Yeah, I suppose if you have everything you need and it's all under one roof, then, you know, a lot of the problem, if you have mental health issues and if you've come from homelessness, getting even from one place to another, arranging your life like that can be an issue. So if everything is under one roof, then that treatment approach is a lot more suitable for people who haven't had, who haven't been independent for years.
And that was Christina Morrissey, and continued success to Katrina. And Brian will be back with the final part of the series next week, looking at national services and some reaction to his report so far. We should say this work is supported by the Rosalind Carter Fellowship for Mental Health Journalism in partnership with Shine. And Brian's going to tell us a little bit more about all of that next week too. Still to come in the next hour though, the CEO of the ESB on the aftermath of the storm and Ireland's electricity infrastructure, how we can all reduce our risk of getting cancer, and we may differ on when spring begins. But Dr. Shane Bergen will be here to tell us what signs to watch out for as the seasons change. Coming up next, though, Adam McGuire will be here to bring us the story of OxyContin and the Sackler family.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.